Hi guys, I'm doing an audio in conversation. Some have been video, some are audio. My hair looks awful, so you're probably better seeing me in video, in audio. So, Mona Burden has come to visit me in Nottingham from Edinburgh, and I know Mona through the Independent Theatre Arts Committee that I sit on with Equity, and we spent a couple of days just looking at social media in terms of how it might affect and benefit the committee, but also how somebody who isn't ingrained in the obsessive nature like I am with social technology, how people can start to benefit from it. And I think one of the entry points, and it's all about entry points sometimes, is language and vocabulary. So yeah. Mona, do say hello.
Hello.
And the language of theatre in connection with the language of the internet.
Yeah, well, it was yesterday, and I can't actually remember at what point you started to use the language of theatre. So until that point, I was listening, but I was listening to it as a stranger, in a way.
Uh-huh.
Maybe in a slightly foreign country. And then the minute that you said something about, I think it was about theatre and about illusion. That's what I think. But you definitely used theatre language to refer to, I think it was illusion.
Yeah.
And now I'm
kind of past. There's a sort of the suspension of disbelief, isn't it? In terms of digital and analogue and virtual, that to go from an offline world, which is three-dimensional, and the theatre is a very three-dimensional but fake environment, to make us believe that what we're seeing on the stage is a play, is real, there is that element of suspension of disbelief that we have to put ourselves through.
And it was like a key, that was it. That when you use theatre language, I don't know if it was deliberate or not, but when you did use that, it was like, I had a key, I had a way in. Yeah. And funnily enough, although you're talking about in terms of like theatre's three-dimensional, but this world isn't, actually, somehow or other, because I'm using the theatre language, I can actually almost see some of it in three-dimensional terms now.
Which
I certainly couldn't have. And also, at one point, I think, because theatre and illusion, and then you'd said something about the world of the web, and I'd actually written down wonderful world of the web, and about 2 hours before that, I would not have been describing
it. It was not a wonderful thing.
No, absolutely not. It was a bit of a mystery thing, and slightly excluding, potentially, and it was like you were taking me through a theatre. That's what it was like. Yeah. It was like you were opening this door and going, and here we go in here and we do this. And then you open this door, you go in here. And therefore I found it entertaining.
Yeah. It's a perspective, isn't it? So, I mean, you use a computer, you use the internet. What do you use your computer for?
I use it for emails.
Uh-huh.
That's usually around work.
Uh-huh.
I use it... I do think that I have always thought... Well, not always, but I definitely enjoy it as an encyclopedia. When I first got the computer, I loved creating things, actually. I loved creating the different colours and all of that. I would play with it. Mm. As long as it was playing, I was quite happy. It's a bit like years ago. I enjoyed pop music until the point you had to be an expert in it in order to have any kind of view at all. And the minute that happened...
Oh, yeah.
So it was almost like that. To begin with, I was quite fascinated by the web and all of that. And then suddenly, somehow or other, there was this hierarchy of whether you were in with the in crowd or not, if you were using this or if you were interested in it.
Yeah.
And whenever that happens, I don't want to be in there. Which is a bit perverse.
Because you're a director, primarily. I mean, you've diversified, you know, you've done some acting, you've done workshops, you've done... primarily you're a director, you know, taking a script and putting it on its feet and taking a group of people and facilitating them to produce a piece of creative work.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, that's something that doesn't need a computer.
Yeah, but it's also interesting what you said about a script and then putting it on its feet. Because of my particular experience of directing, a lot of it started three-dimensionally.
Yeah.
And in fact, quite often if I get a script, what the very first thing I do is it's not a read to the actors are up and they're moving anywhere they want with the script.
Yeah.
It's three-dimensional. And I think that was why the theatre thing was a key for me, because as long as it appears to be two-dimensional, I kind of, I want it to be vibrant. And there was something about, to be honest, I think your passion for it, but it wasn't just your passion, it was also it was the passion, but it was also we were quite focused on specific things.
Mm.
That thing about when you open it up and there's this whole universe there. But if that, you know, if you walk anywhere and you just open a door, the universe is there, you're going to shut that door.
I know. And it's how do you, I mean, you know, you've identified my passion. Yeah. Obviously, anyone who knows me knows how passionate I am. How do we take that knowledge that we've both now got and take it forward for, because I think, I mean, ITAC is an equity committee. So the Independent Theatre Arts Committee is a specialist committee within equity. And we meet together and we talk about the issues that are affecting independent artists. So people that are not West End, who are not sub-rep, who are not opera singers or identified by any of the other committees that are in existence. And we are all spread across the country.
Yep.
So, you know, having meeting up today together, I think as a first step, how do we go forward from here to get other people involved with collaborating on the web if they don't kind of have that insight?
I think it's access and relevance come to mind. Obvious relevance.
Yeah.
So that there can be all sorts of things that you as the expert know are relevant, but for the person who's not the expert, what you have to have is something that's obvious relevant.
Yeah.
And funnily enough, something quite concrete.
Yeah.
So that if you go into a particular...
So the fact there's an archive on there, that the archive of all the contracts and all the leaflets, that's something concrete for people to visit.
Yeah.
It's turning the digital world into those definable spaces that people can access and giving them that.
Using the visuals as well, because I think there was one point at which I saw some stuff and it was like a library almost, and there was something very visual about it, and that can depend on different people.
Yeah.
But to go in somewhere and then be told, as we were saying, really, you know, the idea of there being an equity website is really good.
Yeah.
But there's definite improvements that need to be made.
Yeah.
Because sometimes in order to get to something, we were trying to find out something about role play.
Yeah.
And it actually, it took about six doors you had to open.
Yeah.
And because you were here, you knew the possible doors. If it had been me, I might have got there, but it would have been 20 doors.
You know what's really interesting? That it's just, it reminds me of wandering through the corridors at the National Theatre.
Right.
That unless you've been there and you know the layout, you can't get from A to B.
No.
But once you know where the green room is, or the cafeteria, or your dressing room, you know the route.
Or indeed what the green room is.
That's what it felt like today, going through the equity site. I was having to navigate the corridors and trying to remember the last time I was there, how I got through it. And all of those corridors, which happens backstage, unless you've got the company notice board, they tend to be very blank.
Yeah.
You get a lot of posters and promotional stuff around the marketing office and where the public goes.
But after that, you've just got to find your way because you kind of know it.
Yeah, and if you're lucky, you get paint on the walls.
Yeah.
If you're not lucky, you just get the bare breeze blocks if you're in a theatre from the 70s. Really interesting.
And the other thing that when you kept going, there was the two other things that were there, apart from access and what I was talking about before was relevance.
Yeah.
The other two things that we had there was, one was motivation. But the other one was, and this is where, this may just be personal to me, for me there was the other human being there, helping you along the way.
Yeah, so you've actually got somebody, if you go to a website or a community point, the fact that there is somebody there who can engage with you.
And also, a witness who's going to sort of see you've just given up after
and
a few
doors. And if you know that you go there at a certain time and you know there's a person there, you're likely to come back again.
So it's a conversation, because if not, there's a bit of one hand clapping.
I think the other thing is affordability and the cost of technology. So I think we're coming up towards the end of this conversation now. And I think, you know, what we're going to finish on really is how involved organisations should be in terms of providing the technology that you need to access some of this digital stuff.
Absolutely. I think there's a practical thing, and one of the practical things, I think, is just cost.
Yeah.
And I think there's an attitude thing which is, for example, it's a bit the same as with people who actually do have actual reading problems.
Yeah.
And the reason that there's a whole lot of adult literacy around and that people might be 40 yeah. is because, yes, when they were 5, 6, 7, yeah. 8, they somehow missed the boat. But then because they feel stupid and have been treated as if they were yeah. stupid, it takes 20 years for them to get back on that boat. And we need yeah. to watch we don't do that with literacy within the virtual world.
Yeah, and, you know, to help people with the yeah. technology. Yeah.
It's not that they're ignorant, it's not that they're stupid. Who knows what it is? You can't know that, yeah. but, you know, will anyone want to go in a door that's got stupid written on the front of it and the arrows pointed at you? Probably not.
Well, I hope we can continue these conversations further, and I hope, you know, if you're an Equity member or if you're involved with the arts, please get, you know, on Audioboo or yeah. get a recorder and record your thoughts. Yeah. You know, take the Equity Journal and pick an article and have a discussion about it yeah. and then send it to Equity or tweet about it so that we can start to build up a bit of an archive about, you know, why it's important for us to engage with technology. Thank you so much, Mourna,
not at all.
For
Thank
having
you.
A conversation.
I find it exciting.
Thank you. And we'll then get you home.
Cheers.